Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Just before you sit down, just turn to two or three others and say to them, you are the third witness. Okay, you can be seated. Sometimes it's good to speak the truth even when you don't know what it means. Now, under the law of God in the Old Testament, and Jesus reaffirms this, if a matter was to be established as the truth, it required two or three witnesses. Jesus makes this clear when the Pharisees were questioning his authority. You know, on whose authority are you doing these things? He said, my Father is one witness and I am the other. The two of us are in agreement. And of course, the Pharisees didn't like it that they were calling God his Father and so on. But you need at least two witnesses. Jesus said, when two of you agree concerning anything in prayer, it will be done. Why? Because two witnesses are agreeing. Obviously, not just agreeing in a formula of words, but agreeing in faith and expectation. Also, Jesus is saying, when you want to bring correction to someone, to go to someone, to confront them with their sin, if they don't listen to you, take two or three witnesses with you so that the truth can be established. So this is always the purpose of God, that there should be two or three witnesses. With Jesus, only the two were needed, the Father and himself. You are the third witness, because we have the witness of the Word. The Word is Jesus, of course. And the witness of the Spirit. And the Spirit directs us to the Word and always agrees with the Word. There's never any disparity between the Word and the Spirit. The way we can test whether something is really of the Spirit of God or not is whether it agrees with the Word. So there are the two testimonies, two witnesses. So the Father will be glorified as the Spirit and the Word bear witness together. However, in your life, there is the need of a third witness to believe the Word and the Spirit. So in your reading from John's Gospel for today, which is all about Jesus raising Lazarus, when he's standing before the tomb and he says, remove the stone, Martha says to him, but you know, he's been dead all these days, let the smell out. Jesus says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? In other words, he's saying to the witness of the Word and the Spirit, you need the witness of the believer. And then you see the glory of God. So the Word is one witness. The Spirit is the second witness. And you, as a believer, are the third witness. Now, what that means, of course, is just as the Word and the Spirit always agree, that you agree with the Word and the Spirit. So what Jesus is really saying is when you're in agreement with what I say, and the Spirit is always in agreement with what Jesus says, then you will see the glory of God. Now, the Lord has been talking to us in the last few days about the blood, and that was why we had such powerful evenings and the encounter evenings last week, because there was a focus on the blood. As you've heard me say, there's always focus on the blood in times of revival. The blood is right central to everything that's going on, and you'll see that a lot of revival hymns focus on the blood. So, the Word of God reveals to us the truth of what Jesus accomplished through the shedding of his blood. The Word, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We've got that wonderful prophecy in Isaiah 53, but it was also some of the Psalms are bearing witness to what Jesus would accomplish on the cross, and some of the other prophetic words in Scripture. So the Word bears witness to the truth of what God has accomplished through the blood. The Spirit agrees with the Word. The Spirit, therefore, will constantly remind us of what Jesus has already accomplished. Because the cross, the shedding of his blood, is a historic event that took place at a moment of time and will never be repeated. Never needs to be repeated, because it was the one sacrifice of God himself that was perfect, and you can never improve on the perfect. So that sacrifice will never need to be repeated. So the Spirit constantly bears witness, as the Word does, reminding us of all that God has accomplished on the cross through the shedding of his blood. So you have Paul constantly reminding his readers, it is through the shedding of the blood that you have salvation, that you have forgiveness of sins, that you have the healing power of God, that you have victory over the enemy, and so on. Paul, writing under the anointing of the Spirit, is bearing witness to the truth of what God has accomplished. So the victory is in the blood. The victory over every negative thing. Now, that is an established truth. It was true before ever you were born. But that truth only has effect in your life when you believe it. When you become the third witness to what God has accomplished through the blood. So you agree with what the Word says, you agree with the witness of the Spirit concerning the death of Jesus, the work of the cross, the work of the shedding of his blood, and then you see the power of God released into the situation with which you are faced. As you apply the blood, the victory of the blood, what God has accomplished through the shedding of that blood, in that particular situation in which you're placed. So all this is very simple, but has absolutely profound effect upon our lives in practical ways day by day. Because, put simply, it means that the life of faith is simply agreeing with the Word of God and with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. It's agreeing with what God has said. It's agreeing with the Spirit who bears witness to what God has said. We join with the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. We obey the leading of the Spirit to agree with our confession of faith so that all three witnesses are in agreement. The Word and the Spirit will always agree, whether you do or not. They always agree. When you agree with them, then what the Word says, what the Word has accomplished, gets released into your life and into your circumstances. Whether you believe or not, that never alters the witness of the Word and the Spirit. While you're in disagreement, the agreement of the Word and Spirit has no effect in your life. But when you come into agreement, when you become the third witness, then the life and the power of which the Word speaks gets released into your life, into your circumstances, into your prayer, whatever it may be. So faith, the life of faith, is simply agreeing with God. It's agreeing with the Word and agreeing with the Spirit. That's why you've often heard me say that faith never takes the initiative away from God. You know, when you hear people say, I'm believing God to do boom, 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 whatever it may be, that's not really faith. Because faith is responding to what God has said and what He has done. If God says, by the Spirit, I am going to do X, Y, Z, and you agree, then X, Y, Z will happen. But God is not going to dance to your tune. Faith is not getting God to do something that He has never planned. Right? God always works according to His plan. And the reason why He has given us the Spirit is so that we can know the plan of God and be empowered by the Spirit to fulfill the plan of God. So faith comes from hearing, not from telling God what to do, but from hearing what He says He will do. Or, if you want to put it more correctly, by what He says He has already done. And that as we agree as the third witness, so then we see the life and the love and the power of God released into our situations. So prayer isn't having an agenda that you want to lay before God and say, don't you think it's a good idea, Lord, if you did this and this and this and this? No, prayer, the prayer of faith, begins with listening, with hearing what God is saying and responding to what God is saying, taking hold of the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is why Paul says pray at all times in the Spirit. That doesn't mean you just chunter away in tongues for a few minutes. It means that the Holy Spirit is leading your prayer, is filling your prayer, is the inspiration in your prayer. So in prayer, you are agreeing with the Spirit. And as the Spirit always agrees with the Word, you'll actually be agreeing with the Word and the Spirit. So when you truly pray in the Spirit, what you pray for is going to happen, because all three witnesses are in agreement. Are we getting this? It's simply lining yourself up with God. And when all three are in agreement, the Father is glorified. And the purposes of God are outworked. God has been speaking to me about this afresh in a new way in the last few days. And I, you know, there was something in me that wanted to say, oh Lord, surely the three witnesses are the Word, the Spirit, and the blood. And He said, no, no, no. The three witnesses are the Word, the Spirit, and you, because you have to believe what the Word says about the blood, what the Spirit will work in you through the blood, as you agree by faith with what I have accomplished through the blood. So in the blood there is the power of salvation, there is the power of forgiveness, there is the power of healing, there is the power of deliverance, there is the power of victory over the enemy. And we looked at all those various ways in which the blood speaks. And we confessed our faith, didn't we, over our lives in all those various ways in which the blood can have practical effect upon our lives. So, you are the third witness. So, when Jesus says that we will be his witnesses, he means that we will be those who witness to the truth of the word and the truth of the Spirit. Now, of course, John the Apostle, don't need to tell you about him, you know all about him. He says in both his second and third letters that it gives him great joy to see his children, his spiritual children, walking in the truth. And you know that Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will be my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, John says, it gives me the greatest possible joy to see my spiritual children walking in the truth. Why does he say that? Because he knew that's what gave Jesus the greatest joy, to see his disciples walking in the truth. What does that mean? Well, the word is the word of truth. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And when Jesus talked about the coming of the Spirit at the Last Supper, he didn't talk, as you know, about the fruit of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit. He talked about the essential nature of the Spirit and described him as the Spirit of truth. So John is saying, it gives me great joy to see my children walking in the truth, because when they're walking in the truth, they are living as the third witness. They are agreeing with the word of truth. They're agreeing with the Spirit of truth. Therefore, that truth is being outworked in their lives, and the power of that truth is being released into their lives. Now, come back to the reading for today, whether you've done it already or not, in John 11. This is clearly one of the most remarkable miracles that Jesus performed. A man who had been dead for 4 days is restored to life. Now, Jesus stands before this tomb and he prays. He looks up to heaven and he prays, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. Now, what's going on here? Jesus already has revelation of what the Father is going to do, because Jesus said that he does only what he sees his Father doing. He never does anything on his own initiative. So he's already been praying, he's been listening, he knows what the Father is doing, is going to do. So he is the witness of what the Father is about to do in the restoring of Lazarus. So he's really saying, Father, thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me. I know that we're always, when we're in agreement, the job gets done. So I thank you that we're in agreement. I'm in agreement with you. Thank you that you've heard me. Thank you for what you're about to do. So there's absolute assurance in Jesus' heart as he says, Lazarus, come out. He's not hoping that Lazarus will be restored. He knows for sure and certain that Lazarus will be restored. Remember, he can't do anything by himself. So this must be because of what the Father has shown him and what the Father has witnessed to him that he is going to do. So here you see Jesus demonstrating to all those who were standing around, because there was quite a crowd around, and not all of them were believers in him either. But there were quite a lot of people there. And when he says this prayer, "Father, thank you that you've heard me, for I know that you always hear me," he says, I say this for the benefit of all those that are here. In other words, what he's saying is, I know, Lord, that I'm in agreement, or Father, I know, Father, I'm in agreement with you. I know what's about to happen. But I want everybody standing around here to realize that what is about to take place is because we are in agreement together. So what would happen if you are in agreement with the Word, with Jesus, and with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God? When you are in agreement, whatever God wills shall be accomplished in that situation, without any doubt. So faith is simply a matter of agreeing with God, of not taking the initiative into our own hands. When I used to travel with a team all the time, we knew how important it was in the times of prayer that we had before meetings to be in absolute agreement with God and therefore with one another, that we were all in agreement as to what God would do in that meeting. Now, we weren't telling God what we wanted him to do, but we were listening to the witness of the Spirit, you see. And he would tell us exactly what he was going to do in the meeting. Now, you could say, well, if he says that's what he's going to do, then that's what will happen. But no, that's too simplistic. You see, why was he saying what he was prepared to do? Because he wanted us to come into agreement of faith, to agree with him. Sometimes what he said seemed to be so great, so enormous, that not everybody in the team could immediately say, yeah, I believe that. So I would sometimes stop and I'd say, now, is everybody in agreement? And they all knew that we had to be absolutely honest. So, you know, somebody might say, well, I'm really struggling to believe that God is going to do that in this meeting today. In which case, he would ask, you know, say, Lord, you know, forgive my unbelief. And we would pray for that person, he or she. We would pray for them. Say, Lord, just bring them into the witness of faith, the agreement with the rest of us, the agreement with what you're saying. Because, you know, where there's division, that weakens the whole prayer, doesn't it? This is why Jesus said, Father, may they be one, so that the world will know that you have sent me. And the trouble with so much of our prayer is, you know, we pray about situations without knowing what anybody actually believes. But we knew how important it was. If we were going to really see the power of God released, and often he would give us a list of miracles that he was going to do, or tell us how many people were going to be healed or saved, or he would even tell us how much was going to be in the offering, because at that time we all lived by faith. None of us had any other occupations to provide thing. We never prayed for money. We never asked for money. But, you know, God would just say, I'm going to release so and so and so and so. But we had to agree with it. Thank you, Jesus. We believe that. And anything that we agreed with, we saw. And you see, this is what Jesus is saying to Martha. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? You would see the glory of God in the situation. So God was not glorified in the death of Lazarus, but God was glorified in the resurrection of Lazarus. But Jesus is saying to her, you have to believe. I believe, you believe with me, and you will see the glory of God. And so you see, faith is agreeing with Jesus. And how do we hear his voice? Well, we have his word. You see, if you agree with the word, and the Spirit bears witness to the word, the Spirit will always take you to the scriptures that you need, that are relevant to the particular situation that you're in. Or the Spirit will simply remind you of certain truths of scripture as you're praying, if you're really being attentive to him. And all you have to do is agree, not just hear. Just hearing isn't agreeing. Hearing just tells you what to believe, but you only believe it when you agree with it. Not agreeing that it's the truth, but you agree that this is the truth that God is going to outwork in your life, in your situation at that time. So this is the life of faith to which we're all called. Now, this message has particular relevance. You see, week by week, God builds on what he's doing. So this week he's building on what he accomplished last week, especially in the three nights of encounter in the church meetings. Do you remember when Jesus began his ministry? The very first public proclamation that we have in the scripture that he made was this: the time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the good news. Now, that's a fairly short statement. No doubt it's a summary, the essence of what Jesus was saying. And Jesus would have said a lot more than just that. But when you think that the Gospels are covering 3.5 years of Jesus preaching and teaching, we've only got a few of the words that he actually spoke. But those words are the essence, or if you like, the pivotal truths that God wants us to believe. So here we have this statement from Jesus: the time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, there's a sense in which that is always true, because Jesus has come and he came to impart the gift of the kingdom to his disciples. Fear not, little flock, your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is not over here or over there, but the kingdom of God is within you and among you. You can translate it either way, both are true. The kingdom is within us, planted as a seed that grows up to maturity and fruitfulness, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The power of God, because the kingdom is not a matter of talk, but of power. The kingdom of God is there within you. So the kingdom of God is always at hand. The question is whether day by day in the circumstances in which each of us is placed, we are seeing the evidence of the kingdom that is within us being released into those circumstances. Whether we're seeing the authority and the power of the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of Jesus that can take place through us, whether we actually see that being exercised and the fruit that comes from that when we pray, when we speak, when we act in his name. The kingdom of God is always at hand. All it needs is for the Word, the Spirit, and the believer to be in agreement. And the life of the kingdom, just like the power of the blood, is released. So the blood isn't the witness, the kingdom isn't the witness, the Word is the witness, the Spirit is the witness, and you are the third witness. The believer that causes the power of the blood, the authority and power of God's kingdom, the evidence of his kingdom, to be exposed, to be manifested, revealed in whatever situation in which you're placed. Now, this is always the case. The kingdom of God is at hand. At any time, the kingdom of God, the presence of the kingdom, the rule and the reign of Jesus can be exhibited, can be released in your life, in your circumstances, at any time. However, in the purposes of God, there are times and seasons. And I believe that what God is saying is that he has preparing us for a season when the power of God is going to be released in a way beyond anything that you have seen. I hope it's anything beyond what I've seen, but what I've seen has been so wonderful, I would actually be happy just to see the power released in the same way again. But I'm still believing for greater things still. But I believe God is saying that all that he's been doing in and among us, and especially as recently he's been bringing our focus on the blood, is because the time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand, and all he needs now is a group of believers to agree with the Word and the Spirit. And we will see the glory of God. That's the point. And we not only believe in the glory of God, but we see the glory of God. We see the glory of God in what happens. Things will be happening all around us. I was preaching in a different kind of situation on Sunday. Precious people of God. But in a situation where it seemed that there needed to be a new level of faith among God's people, and so he was leading me to speak about faith. And that included, of course, faith for God to meet our needs, to provide for us in any way possible, including his healing power. I wasn't really talking about healing. And when it came to the time of ministry, it was really at the end, it was in a very limited time, but it wasn't the right opportunity to have a time of healing, but really to be doing the groundwork of faith, of really getting people to repent, really, of the unbelief, of casual attitudes towards trusting God and so on, and really reaching out for that for which he's given us. There wasn't really sort of time to... I well overrun my allotted time anyway. My wife said to me as I left, well, this will need to be a miracle day if you've only got 20 minutes. And I was more than 20 minutes in what I said and did, about twice that long, I should think. But nobody walked out, so praise God. But you see that the thing is this. Somebody came up to me at the end and they said to me, there's been a lady here that has been very ill. She breathing has been very difficult, and she's just been completely healed and released. Now, that was good to hear, but actually there was no direct ministry of healing. There was no word of knowledge or anything like that. I don't think they were quite ready for that. Because, you know, when you give words of knowledge, there needs to be faith for people to receive that which is being spoken. So, but the interesting thing was, you see, simply by bearing witness to the truth, God was being glorified in that lady. Now, probably there were many other things God was doing as well. I just happened to hear of that one because somebody told me of it. But you see, this is the point. When we are in agreement with God, the Word and the Spirit, things will happen. We may not even be conscious always of what is happening, but we certainly don't have to try to make them happen. They will happen. Now, the challenge, I was interesting, starting to do the interviews with first-year students. By the way, I don't want to see all the first-year students. But it was interesting that every single one I saw yesterday said the same thing. And I said, how have you been getting on here? I said, well, it's been challenging. Same word was used by everyone. It's been challenging. I thought, well, good, because what a waste of time this would have been if God hadn't challenged you. I mean, if you hadn't been challenged, nothing would have happened. Nothing of any value. And this is the thing, you see, God constantly challenges us. He's challenging me all the time. You see, and the part of the challenge of faith is to believe that if you agree with the Word and with the Spirit, you will see the glory of God. That's the challenge to your faith now. The time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand. God is ready to reveal the power, the authority, the good things of his kingdom. He's saying, all I want is a body of believers who will agree with the Word and Spirit. All I need are the third witnesses. So we can praise God for what we see already, because things are happening already. People are being saved, people are being healed, people are being set free through the ministry of the church. We praise God for that in all three locations. We praise God for that, but there's so much more.
Yes.
So, the greater our unity with the Lord, the greater our agreement with him, the greater our witness. Because if we are in agreement with him, we will see. The more we agree with him, the more we will see. It's as simple as that, really. And of course, what we have to get used to is not being so selfish and just agreeing with the Word and Spirit as to what he needs to do in me. But what he needs to do among us corporately.
Yes.
So when we pray together, we need to be in agreement of faith. You've heard me say, when people leave prayer meetings, they should not just say, right, we're going to pray for so-and-so and so-and-so. And everybody prays. And nobody knows what anybody is actually praying. Nobody knows. You can hear what the guy up front is praying. But nobody knows what is believing. Nobody knows if there's agreement of faith. But actually, the way to lead a prayer meeting is for you to have prayed beforehand and heard from God and believe what he is saying about the situation and to lay that before the brethren that are praying, you know, right now we need to pray about so-and-so and so-and-so. I believe the Lord is saying X, Y, Z. So we all need to come into agreement now and agree together that God will do X, Y, Z. That's the way to pray corporately. It's not just to announce a subject and then everybody goes into tongues. Hello? Okay. So even when you come together and pray informally, you know, you've heard me say before, often you need to say, let us think before you say, let us pray. Or let us agree together before let us pray. What do we actually believe God is about to do? And this is what I laid before these dear folk on Sunday morning. You know, when you pray, do you actually believe that God will do what you prayed? You see, if you don't believe he'll do what you pray, what's the point of praying? That's a sort of a non-prayer, isn't it? But how do you believe what he will do? Well, by hearing from him, by listening to the witness of the Spirit, knowing what the Word says, knowing what the Spirit says. Right, there are two witnesses, now I can agree. I bring my third witness in agreement with the other two witnesses, and it shall be done. Jesus said it will be done if there's two witnesses. So if you like, you can agree either with the Word or with the Spirit, because they're both in agreement, so it doesn't matter. You've only got to agree with one of them, and you agree with both of them. That's why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. You believe in me, you believe in the Father also. You believe the Word, you believe the Spirit, you believe the Word. Because if you hear anything that's supposedly of the Spirit and it isn't of the Word, then it isn't of the Spirit. Hello? You breathing? Okay, so it's all a very simple matter, isn't it, really? As God has spoken. Now, don't get yourself all in a heap by saying, oh God, I need to hear from you. What are you going to do? Because he says, well, just look at my word. What does my word say? Well, there's a lot in the book. Well, the Holy Spirit is able to direct you to the right part of the book that is relevant for that particular situation. But don't sit there trying to hear the voice of God. That's a recipe for disaster. Whenever you try to hear the voice of God, 99% of the time you will listen to your own soul and not hear God. God speaks to you in his way, when he decides, not when you tell him. And because he's never silent, he is actually speaking through his word and by his spirit. And you will be able to know what he's saying. But you see, I mean, some of you are wondering, you know, do you come back for a second year or not? Or what do you do at the end of the second year? Well, it doesn't work, does it, to say, well, I'm going to have a prayer meeting and I'm going to ask God to tell me what to do. Because you end up in absolute confusion. You've heard 4 times that you're to stay, 3 times that you're to go. And you say, well, I'm no better off than I was when I started. Why? Because you see, actually it's your mind that's operating, not your spirit. You are asking God to make something clear to your mind when He is spirit and He speaks to you by His spirit. So you lay the matter before Him and you say, Lord, my life is in your hands. I'm your child. I believe you will show me what is the right thing. And He will. He will. He'll probably tell you when you're least expecting to hear it from Him. But He knows the plan and purpose that He has for your life. So He doesn't want you to be in a place where He doesn't want you to be. He wants to lead you where He does want you to be. So, you lay it before Him and you leave the matter in His hands. That's faith. And He will speak. He will show you. You might have to work through all that you want to do before you get to what He wants you to do. That's a common thing. You know, because often when we say, Lord, I want to hear from you, what we are actually saying is, Lord, I want to hear you agree with me. And the Lord is saying, I'm not going to agree with you because faith is you agreeing with me. So let's get rid of all that you want me to agree with you, and then you can agree with me. Then we can get to the real business. You see, He knows us pretty well, doesn't He? So God does not dance to your tune, but you live according to His plan. So this is great, isn't it? What a good message. It is a good message because it's been blessing me all week as the Lord's been speaking to me afresh about this. All we have to do is be the third witness. How simple. Not the first witness or the second, the third. Just agree with the Word and the Spirit. Hallelujah. So how do we pray about situations that we're really perplexed about? You know, there's lots of big issues going on in the world today. Well, God will do what God will do. And as the scripture says, so often we do not know how to pray. We do not know what we ought to pray. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, even sometimes with groans. That, you know, you get so concerned about a situation, you don't know how to pray, you're totally perplexed, you can't even see the way forward. And all that the Spirit does is get you groaning before the Lord. It ought to be a bit more groaning around here, really. I don't hear too much groaning. But really, when there's that depth of desire and determination to see a breakthrough in a situation, and we can't see how that breakthrough is going to happen, it's not just a question of trundling away in tongues, but of letting the Spirit of God work within us in such a way that we're even groaning before God. It's a work of the Spirit, according to the Word. What's happening in that groaning? You're being the third witness. Because it's the Spirit that is causing that. You see, the great thing about being the third witness is so often God is going to use us beyond our understanding. Now, faith operates through our understanding. We hear what God is saying, we agree with Him in word and spirit, and because the three of us are in agreement, it shall be done. But when we don't know, when we are absolutely perplexed, somehow that groaning brings us into the agreement with God, even if it's beyond our understanding. And the power of God is released. See, this is why the scripture says it's the fervent prayers of the righteous that avail much. Where does that groaning come from? It's the fervency. It's the depth of determination. God, we've just got to see you move in this situation. We've just got to see a resolution to these circumstances, or whatever it may be. But I believe, you see, that I can remember one of the most powerful addresses I've ever heard. And let me tell you, speaking in all the big international conferences that I have over the years, I've heard some pretty powerful messages. But I think one of the most powerful ones I've ever heard was from Wilfred Lai from Kenya. Wonderful, wonderful man of God. He came and spoke 1 year at Faith Camp. He's got a church of about 30,000 in Mombasa. Marvelous church, wonderful church. Every Friday, I haven't been there for a few years now, but every Friday night he would have 10,000 praying all through the night, every Friday. Phew. And boy, when they pray, do they pray. But he spoke at this conference on groaning in the Spirit. And I'm not suggesting that we do it now, but what happened afterwards is everybody prayed, and he said, "When, just set your objective. This is the situation. Lord, we've got to have a resolution to this. Now, Holy Spirit, just lead me through to the resolution." I don't think I've ever been in such a powerful prayer meeting as that. You just sensed that so many situations were being resolved. Of course, it's a bit of a dent to your pride to start groaning in the presence of other people. That's what it's like. But it's the prayer that's causing that. I believe we're going to see more and more prayer like that. Because the time has come. The kingdom is at hand. And we're the third witnesses. Amen. And when we're totally perplexed, the Holy Spirit will come to our aid, and he'll say, "Right, come on, I'll work this in you." Well, I like my quiet times. Yeah, so do I. I love quiet times. I have a quiet time every day. But our quiet times are needed, but so are our noisy times. Quiet times needn't be your whole spiritual diet. You wouldn't want to live on bread and water every day, would you? You like a varied diet. But don't just live on the same prayer diet every day. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Okay, so that's it. It's exciting, isn't it? Why? Because of what Jesus is saying to us today. What is he saying to us today? Well, you've either read it or you will read it. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? That's his word. To you, to the whole of Kingdom Faith, it's his eternal word. It's the word he brings to us today. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So just believe. Agree with the other two witnesses. And when the three of you are in agreement, it is done. I'm just waiting for somebody to say amen. Oh God, let's all stand. Hallelujah. Isn't it exciting? I'm excited. I really am. I'm not just saying that. I'm really excited because we're on the threshold of much greater things. I praise God for all he's doing. Because you don't see the greater things, you know, unless God has been building up towards that. But I'm very thankful for what God is doing now amongst us. But oh boy, I'm excited. Greater things are just ahead of us. Right? The kingdom of God is at hand. Just close your hand. Just hear God sing. Just hear the voice of God, you see. Because, you know, it may be my voice, but it's his voice, if you see what I mean, because I'm speaking his word. The time has come. I just say, Lord, thank you. The time has come for me. The kingdom of God is at hand. Thank you, Lord. Your kingdom is at hand for me. Your kingdom is within me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me your word. Thank you that I have the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that in these last months you've been immersing me in your word. Sort of baptizing me. You know, baptism is to be immersed. You've been baptizing me in your word. Baptized, if you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into the word of God because he is the word of God. Thank you, Lord, you've been immersing me in your word. Hallelujah. And your word is truth. Thank you, Lord. You've been immersing me in your spirit. And your spirit is the spirit of truth. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm immersed in your word and in your spirit. Thank you. I'm no longer ignorant of your word. I'm not ignorant of your spirit. But I know your word and I know your spirit. I know the truth. You say if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. Well, thank you, Lord. I know the truth. I am no longer ignorant of the truth. I know the truth of who you are. I know the truth of all that you have accomplished on the cross. That all you have done through the shedding of your blood. I thank you, Lord, that I know about the witness of your spirit. That I know the reality of your spirit in my life. Thank you, Lord. I know what your spirit has already accomplished in me. And I give you glory and honor and thanks for that. I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, I'm not ignorant, I know. Praise your holy name. So thank you, Lord, I have this witness of the word. I have this witness of the Spirit. I know. Thank you, Lord, I know the truth. Thank you, Lord, I can continue to walk in the truth. The truth of your word. The truth of your spirit. That as I abide in you, I abide in the word. I live in the word. I live in the spirit. I live immersed in the word. I live immersed in the spirit. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, thank you, Lord, you've called me to be the third witness. That everything will be established through two or three witnesses. Thank you that the Word and Spirit are already in agreement. Thank you, Lord, as I come into agreement with your Word and Spirit, so I will see the glory of God. I will see your glory revealed, your glory released into the circumstances of my life, your glory released into those for whom I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I only have to agree with what you say, with what you have said. Thank you that your spirit always agrees with what you have said. And Lord, I agree with what you have said. Thank you that your spirit will take your word and declare it to me. Thank you that in every situation I'm in, your spirit will declare to me exactly what I need to hear. Thank you that faith will rise up within me as I listen to what you say in your word and by your spirit. Thank you that the Logos will become Rhema to me in one situation after another. And I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Poratapariya leto bakalasita di sandama. Baratapariya leto bakalasato bakalasuta di sandama. Basandariya leto bakalasita di sandariya leto bakalasita di sandama. Basandariya leto bakalasata bakalasita di sandama. Basandaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala sutri sandama. Thank you, Jesus. Poradaparia leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala sitri sandama. Opasadaparia leto bakala sitri bakala sundri sandama. Basandaria leto bakala sitri sando bakala sutri sandama. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. I don't have to try to get you to dance to my tune. But I can live according to your plan, according to your purpose. Thank you, Lord. You have prepared good things for me to walk in. Thank you that you have a good purpose for my life. And I thank you, Lord. I praise you. I bless you. Paratapariya leto bakalasitri sandariya leto bakalasitama. Basandariya leto bakalasitri sandama. Basandariya leto bakalasutri sandama. Thank you, Lord, for the great power that there is in the agreement in prayer.
I just pray for a real spirit of prayer to be upon each one of us personally, to be upon the whole of Kingdom Faith, that whenever we meet together for prayer, there will be that agreement of faith, that there will be that common witness, that whatever you say in your word and by your spirit, we will see as we believe that revelation of truth that you give us. And we give you all the glory, Lord. We believe with all of our hearts that every true word of promise that you have spoken over Kingdom Faith will be fulfilled. Every single word. We will see what you have said. We will see those 5,000 households coming to faith. We will see it. It shall be because you have declared it. It's not our idea. It was the revelation that you brought. So we give you glory. We give you honor and praise. It shall be because you have declared it. And we agree with you, Lord. We agree with you. Praise you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Now, whatever concerns you have, just lay them before the Lord. Don't say, oh, Lord, speak to me now. No, no, just lay it before the Lord. Say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my future. I know that you will speak to me. You will direct me in the way that you want me to go. Hallelujah. There's a golden rule about guidance. If you hear nothing, you keep walking in the way that you are already walking. You see, if you're going in the right direction, God doesn't need to say anything. It's only when he wants to correct you or lead you into a new direction that he will speak to you. If you hear nothing, then you just keep going where you are. You don't get worried because, oh, I'm not hearing anything. No, you don't need to hear anything if you're already in the place where God wants you to be. So we praise you, Lord. We bless you. Koratabaria letu bakalasitri sandama. Bazandaria letu bakalasitri sandaria letu bakalasitama. Bazandaria letu bakalasitri sandama. Thank you, thank you. So just lay these situations before the Lord. Say, Lord, I trust you. I know you will speak to me. I know you will lead me. Oh, hallelujah. I know that you will keep me walking in your ways. Thank you that you want your plans and purposes for me to be fulfilled. Thank you, you don't want me to step outside your will. Thank you don't want me to make mistakes. You don't want me to get it wrong, Lord. So as I just entrust myself to you, entrust my future into your hands, you will lead me, you will guide me, and I give you all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's hear some fervent prayer now. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you're so good, Lord. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Poratapariya leto bakalasato bakalasita pa. Papariya leto bakalasato bakalasita di sandama. O pasatapariya leto bakalasita di sandama. O pasatapariya leto bakalasita di sandama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Pura tapari alero bakala sitri sandama. Opa sarabari alero bakala sitri sandama. Opa sarabari alero bakala sitri santo. Opa sarabari alero bakala sitri sandari alero bakala sitama. Opa pari alero bakala sitri sandari alero bakala sinama. Opa sarabari alero bakala sitri sandama. O pasarabari eletto per calasita di 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 sandari eletto per. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so how should we pray? about something that is this nation is addressing at present with this referendum. What would the Word of God say to us about staying in or coming out? Can we expect God to speak and say the same thing to every believer that is listening to him? So we can say, this is the Word of God. We are to stay in or come out. What would the Scripture say about such things? Well, the Scripture would never give you an answer like that. But what the Word of God tells you to do is to pray, to decide according to your conscience, to act according to what you genuinely believe to be the right decision. Not to be swayed by anybody else so that you make a decision against your conscience. So how would you pray, Lord, inform my conscience so that I make the decision that you want me to make? So your brother or sister in Christ may come to a different conclusion. That doesn't mean God is divided. It just means that that person is being faithful in acting according to their conscience. And that's what God asks of us. You read what Paul says about this, and you'll see that this is the Word of God. We pray according and make decisions according to our conscience. He uses all kinds of practical things like, you know, your diet and whether you eat food offered to idols and all this. It all is a matter of conscience. So just pray for your conscience to be informed so that you make the right decision. Because you see, if you vote according to conscience, that's the right decision for you. Okay? The ultimate outcome is in God's hands. A lot of people will be voting for a lot of different motives. But as believers, we conscientiously do what we believe to be God's desire for us to do in the voting booth. Very simple, really. Okay, Father, we thank you. Because we're on the verge of greater things. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is at hand. And we are your witnesses. And all we have to do is to agree with you. And we bless you. We praise you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. We bless your wonderful holy name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on, let's give the Lord a great big thank you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the point is this. God isn't on the side of Europe, and he isn't on the side of Britain. He's not on anybody's side. He's only on his own side. See, that's the reality. Okay, so now just turn to those around you and say, I am the third witness.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.